Blog Talk Radio.
What's the topic? We'll never run out of options. Fatherhood to justice, O'Shea and Mark drop the knowledge. These are times where we try for a peace of mind, organize and then reignite with these words from the other side.
We're two good brothers, unpacked. Meaningful conversations centered in solutions that transmute the systemic energy of being black in America, where each episode is packed with inspirational messages and thought-provoking special guests. Come join us on the other side.
You're listening to E-Water Radio, K-E-W-R-D-B.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of E-Water Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of E-Water Radio, KEWR-DB, or its affiliates.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the other side. We're so happy to have you with us. We have an exciting show today. And we are going to be talking about a couple of exciting and very important topics. But first, I want to know, do I have my partner in knowledge, O'Shea Lugia? Are you on the other side with us, brother?
Peace, good brother. Yes, I am, man. I'm glad to be on the other side with you, as usual, man. It's going to be, you know, blacknificent.
Blacknificent. Brother, you always come up with some stuff, brother. I felt like... I should have a t-shirt press ready. This is hard.
Yes.
But we're excited about that, brother. We have a special guest we're going to bring on in a moment. But first, we'd just like to, as always, just take a moment to acknowledge those brothers and sisters that have fallen by the hands of police. And there's a number that I read that was shocking to me, brother. It was like since George Floyd last year, 181 blacks have been killed by the police, and that's roughly 17% of all the people. 17%, but we only make up 13% of the population. So numerically speaking, brother, they're killing us more than the number that we have here. So I just want to pause and not forget, because sometimes there's a tendency, if it's not in the public sphere, that we forget that this is happening, if it doesn't come up on our social media feed. So I just want to stop and pause and give acknowledgement to that, and just so we can continue and understand that the struggle doesn't end, even if it's not being televised. So that's very important, brother. Righteous, indeed.
Yes.
Brother. Yes. So this week, man, this episode we're gonna dive into conversation about black music, because we are in the midst of celebrating Black History, Black Music Month. We had on Father Amdi, the last show was very exciting.
It was powerful,
wasn't it? Yeah. So much information.
Indeed.
I definitely want to have him back on, man, very soon. But this week, absolutely, we are blessed to have our brother, who is the founding member of a group called the St. Lunatics out of St. Louis, Missouri, my hometown. My wife always said, I don't claim St. Louis, but I grew up in New York. But
you better claim the Lou, man. Indeed, man. Yes, absolutely.
They have sold over 70 million albums worldwide and achieved several awards, including Grammys. So we want to, without hesitation, we want to bring on our brother Ali, and we want to bring on Ali to the other side.
Yeah.
Let's see if we have our brother with us. Ali, are you with us on the other side?
Sure I do. Yeah, how you doing, Mark? Peace.
Peace, brother.
Peace, brother. Yes.
Peace. How you doing, Knowledge? I haven't met you in the physical, but it's nice to hear
righteous,
you.
Righteous, righteous.
Hear you in sound.
Yes, likewise. Yes.
it's amazing how many times we're saying that now over the past year. I haven't met you in person, but I've met you virtually. I must have said that a million times over the past several months, man. So, but we seem to be unfolding a little bit from that situation. So it's going to be good. We've talked about this on our show, Ali. It's going to be good to, you know, start communing again in person and real. So we're excited about that, man. I know as an artist, bro,
exactly. You
must be excited about that because you, as an artist, you have been grounded over the past year, I would
grounded.
Assume, brother.
Yeah, just grounded. But now it's opening back up to where it's like a deep breath, you know, being able to take so we can, you know, just get back out here and just, you know, support ourselves.
So, as an artist, brother, as an artist, what have you been doing, man, over the past year as an artist, man, to stay connected to your art, man, stay connected to your fans, stay connected to the community? Because it's difficult, man, because it's when you're in the live, because your medium is live performances. Of course, you go in the studio
right.
and you make music, brother, but it unfolds on stage. So how have you been
right.
just spiritually, just mentally staying connected, man, to your what you love, brother?
Just by the therapy, and therapy is music for me. Just recording music. Got a new album coming out on my birthday, July 13th. Well, that's on, you know. And that's my born day. It's called Rose Gold.
Nice.
I've just been writing that. Writing, and it's just music is just therapy, and writing is therapy for me. Just even if I don't even use it as a song, it's like it helps me through a situation and keeps me grounded, because I'm gonna go from 90s, 80s hip hop, the Wu, and all on and on, all the way up to the Lil Baby and the, you know, 21 Savage. I'm gonna listen to everything just to stay grounded, stay with what's going on, and I never forget where I came from.
Mm. Man, that's powerful, man. That's like Bob Marley, he says, when music hits you, you feel no pain. And I just want to just say, Brother Ali, man, that heavy starch, man, I think you're hitting O2 or something, man. So I'm from Watts, man, Watts, California, IA, man. And, you know, we on the West Coast, man, we always starched up our khakis, starched up our jeans. So when you came with that heavy starch, we was like, ooh. And then to follow that up with Kenfolk, man, just know that, man, it hit Watts. Like, I say it hit Watts. And if something hit Watts, man, just know, man, that the people that's on the ground, man, in this concrete jungle feels it, man. So big up, man, to Fort Heavy Starch and Kenfolk.
No, I appreciate that a lot, because we got a lot of family members out in Watts, you know, people that are with the crew with us. And then we learned a lot just when we went out there back in the day. We had a show in L.A., and we looked up, and, I mean, it was purple and everywhere. It was like, man, what's this? I thought we was in Minnesota, because we didn't know we was all these Cold Pepper jerseys. And I'm
right.
Man, like, what? And so, and then it was a lot of Stone Love. So we was like, what? I'm like, but then we found out one of our good friends of ours was on the road with us. His father lived in Washington, and he was just touched a lot of people. When the first, you know, black sitcom, which was Sanford and Son.
Yes, that was Watts.
It was Watts. So a lot of people were saying, let's move to Watts. You know what I'm saying? So we got so many similarities. When you talk to us, like Greedo, O3.
Right, Greedo, O3.
Yeah, O3. Mm-hmm. We talked to him. Yeah. He's going to distinguish between L.A. And Watts and the difference, and he's going to speak about how they gravitated more to the Cash Money, to the lunatics, to the to the low limit, and why?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly, man, because we feel it like y'all feel it, man. So I just wanted to just, you know, speak to that, though, man. So we, you know, man, we can folks with you, though, brother.
That.
Yes, all that, man. For real.
And Star Stuff jeans and Star Stuff everything. Mark,
absolutely.
No, Mark was St. Louis. He didn't put the paper on top of it and put the starch on there and got them all.
I love
it. Let me
tell you something, man. I did not, before I went out, even when I left St. Louis and I moved to New York, when I came back to St. Louis, I didn't go out unless my jeans were heavily starched.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
In the 2000s, we switched the crease to, we start getting them, starching them flat.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
It had to have that stiffness to it.
It had to. I mean, they had to stand up by themselves, man, unless I wasn't putting them on. I love it, man.
Literally stand up by themselves.
Yes.
Absolutely, man. That's dope, man. That's dope, man. And then just that whole energy in the early 2000s, how music hit, man. It hit, and like you mentioned, Cash Money, man. They was in Watts. They was, you know, all through there, man. Juvenile, man. A few of my homeboys, rest in peace, man, was in that video, man. It just was like, you know, that energy, man. It always been that connection, and I'm just glad to just see you just still continuing to expand, you know, the legacy, and that's what it's about. Oh, man, it's about legacy.
Yes, sir. That's about the legacy and financial, but yet generational. You know what I'm saying? Like the financial has to go generational. We gotta go to up under and dig from and plant a seed that, you know, so that something beautiful will grow out of it. Mm-hmm. And that's for the babies, that we gotta be unselfish. You know what I'm saying? It's hard for us to be unselfish. Like, we know we're not going to see the progress completely. Yet, we still got to put the work in and be unselfish. Mm-hmm. So it can happen for our great, 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 great. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, bro.
We ain't going
nowhere. That part.
We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, and that's brilliant, man, that you say that, because I think a lot of people, man, a lot of artists, and just people in general, they really – When they're in the midst of doing what they're doing, it's very a narrow sort of sighted mission that they're on, and they're thinking, how can I? I got a 5-year plan, I got a 10-year plan, and that's fine. I'm not knocking anyone's hustle, but if it's I have a generational plan, that's different,
right?
Because now you're projecting past yourself, and the moves that you make are now outside of what you would normally be doing. Because you're trying to build something that is constructed on a different model. So when you said that, brother,
it's cultural.
I think it's very important for here. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's cultural. And that's all Lunatics was it was cultural. It was Nelly did great, took us where we needed to go. Yet it was a whole culture that came with it. It was vegetarians. We were, and the culture is just how you eat, what you eat, how you talk, you know, what you, how you dress. It was the whole thing of it, and that's part of the that was the whole drive behind us, was the cultural, you know, effect of it. You know, let's take off the let's not put the pressures on the mothers. You know, we consciously thought about this. Let's not put the pressures on the mothers. Mm-hmm. Let's make it about, you know, back then you could be fly with a pair of $60 Nikes on, ever worn at the time, and then you could then you could get a white T-shirt, and
fresh white,
and headbands,
and that's it, and you're good.
Wristbands, headbands, that type of stuff. So it was easy on a single mother, really easy on her to buy for, and you know, saying, and then, you know, so that was our goal always, to the culture side of it. You know, saying just to be conscious of what we're doing. They're watching us, and meaning the babies are watching us. They don't care about us watching us. You know. And the babies are watching.
Yes.
Put on a show. I'm not one of those I'm not a role model. Nah, I'm a role model. Come on, you can follow me. You know what I'm saying? You're going to see me do some things that might not be 100% right, but I'm going to tell you that ain't right. Or some majority of my day going to be, 95% of my day going to be right. You know what I'm saying?
That part. Right. Right.
Let me ask you about that, Ali, because I've asked a couple of other, you know, people who are artistic and creators. We had Father Ali of the Watts Prophets here last week, a couple of weeks ago. And you know, and yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, he's like, it's like going to a university, man, for 4 years, just speaking to him for 30 minutes. So we definitely want to have him back on. But when you talk about like role models and being responsible to your fan base, man, what's your thoughts on, you know, is it an artist's responsibility to really speak to what's going on in the community, to be a sounding board, to be a inspiration, or is it more just if that person is suited to do that? Or does an artist have a responsibility to do that? I don't want to get you in trouble with anybody.
I'm going to whatever I say, I'm going to put, you know, the proper current on it. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be in the cold current or warm current. You have to say something about other artists, but yeah,
right.
I don't want everybody talking. Everybody don't need to talk. Everybody don't need to talk. Everybody needs talkers, and they're messing around with that, say the wrong thing, and it's not for everybody yet. What that platform that we got, it's a platform, it's a foundation. You know what I'm saying? So that platform that we're standing on is big, and if you can use it, and if you are raised up and properly brought up, and you know, you have an obligation as a citizen to help others get to that. Now you got a platform, and that platform is the, you know, it's a foundation. It's just a foundation. The foundation is the knowledge. So. That in turn has gave me the ability to respond. So, of course, I have a responsibility. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Of course I have a responsibility because I have ability to respond now. You know what I'm saying? To put it out there the proper way. Now, if I don't put it out there the proper way and I know better, then I'm held accountable. It's going to come back on me. But if I don't know better, I can't hold me accountable. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we always should be, you know what I'm saying, pushing it. But it's that foundation is what gives me that platform. That foundation is what gives me a ability to respond. So, yes, I have a responsibility. You know what I'm saying?
Wow,
that's
powerful. It's interesting. I'm there to watch prophets. Ali, he said something very similar to what you said, like everyone do not need to be talking and responding, you know, and I totally agree with what you're saying, man, but when you are given that platform, when you have studied to show thyself approved, when you are moving through the energy, yes, man, I totally agree, man. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, it's funny. When you said that, I thought about Father MD. You're right. He did say something very similar to that, brother.
Yes.
Yeah, it's we all need everybody. And then some people, even in the midst of Mike Brown, you had the Young Thugs who were just like, yo, I'm just going to stay out of that. And different artists who were just trying to, because they were instructed by elders and elders around them, just stay out of that. Or, you know, we learned from Michael Jordan, who was from an era of just staying out of it. You know what I'm saying? He would speak with his pockets. He would speak with his pockets, but he wouldn't really. And we came from a time, but now we've grown. There's too many of us that's woke. Now.
Woke, right.
It's to where it should be somebody around you feeding you knowledge that's right and exact. Somebody.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It is. Sometimes I don't want to listen to them, but you know what I'm saying? This is to my expose. So that's what we can literally change everything through music. You know what I'm saying? We can change our whole situation through music. We can change.
Yeah.
And it's a balance. We need a balance of it because, you know, we love Chuck D. But really, as children, what we have heard or listened to Chuck D, if we had never heard his 9mm go bang.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, KRS-One, we respect him. He is a teacher, but if you know, I mean, now that was if Chuck D's Uzi had never weighed a ton, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then KRS-One, had we ever heard him, had his 9mm had never went bang, to where you showed us a side to where it was like Nipsey, it was like Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Like he wasn't no chump, you know what I'm saying? Like he ain't had no following him because he was a chump. He was tough. He fought his issue, so. You got to be. You walk around with thieves and prostitutes and, oh, come on, huh? He right. About that.
Word,
so,
right.
You got him.
Man, if Jesus came back tomorrow, quote unquote, man, he would be in Watts in St. Louis. How about that? He'll be in every hood that he'll be straight in the projects. That's where he gonna be. He going straight to the project.
Straight to why yeah. Wouldn't he? That's who need him.
Yep, that's who need him.
That's who need him. The cultureless.
Yeah, and I think that's important, man. Because what you said, because you're right, both your brothers. We're not a monolithic people, right? There's always there's culturally competent and not competent, but culturally relevant music. But then there's party music. Then there's music to get down.
Exactly.
There's music to act a fool with. And I think that is just representational of our experience, right? I think I think if we embrace the totality of that experience,
mm-hmm.
I think that we can learn from each source, right? There's something to be learned from each source. But I can't work out
to that workout music. Oh man, I gotta be here in that trap. That I'm a drug dealer,
right.
Come on, I need to turn up. I'm in there shooting people.
Right,
right. I ain't got nothing.
Yes.
But it's
yes,
a time and a place. I got to know. It's time and a place, and I got to know that's just Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's just the equalizer. That's just Terminator. It's not real. Like,
right. Yeah.
Ain't no rappers out here. Yeah, ain't no rappers
that's
out here.
It.
You know.
That's it.
Man.
You
don't. That's right.
I ain't doing
like
that.
Man. I was going to say, to this day, man, I work out to that Dog Pound, man. That Dog Pound album.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Man, you put that Dog Pound on, oh, it's a wrap, man. I'm going to go through my whole set. Yeah.
Yeah, you play anything with Daz on that. With Daz got that flow. I'm going to be in that, too.
Daz and Corrupt, right. Anything.
Yeah, I'm going to be pumped. Anything. They're going to ride the beat. I'm going to be in there pushing, and I just like to hear that type of music. And then when I'm by myself with my wife, I want to hear this type of music. And so, and being older, of course, the majority is going to be, like, my albums are, you know, these type of records or more of a 444 Jay-Z or, you know what I'm saying, it was a different sound at this age.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But we need to keep it all of this out there because just as we created everything else, you know what I'm saying, rock and pop and, rock and some blues and jazz and everything, all the stuff we created, it was at one time. It was at one time a young man's game, all of them.
That's what people don't realize, man. When they talk about music, that's old. But at one time, the people creating the music that we listen to now, older, those people were young people. They were in their 20s and their 30s. Right? And so
jazz
that, and they
was
were
a young thing.
It was a young thing.
Jazz was young, a young rebel music at the time.
Yes.
But
yes,
now
it was.
We see jazz. Jazz, if you could be 21 doing jazz, or you could be 50, 61, 81 doing jazz, and that's how hip hop has got that way now to where we got different genres of hip hop. We got heavy metal rock, you got soft rock, you got classic rock. That's how hip hop is graduating into.
Yes, and I love that, man, to see it really stretch out into, like, because hip-hop is not a young man's art form, and for it to be continue to be respected and stretched out throughout the millenniums, like, that's what we do. You never stop creating, and it's an art. So I just love to see, like you spoke about Jay-Z 444. You got Rose Gold coming out and just so on and so forth. Man, we need to, celebrate the art form. I don't care how old you met, young or old you are. If you're 80 and you still got some bars, you still got something to say.
Spit them.
Say it.
Teach me. Yes. Teach me something. I ain't been 80 before. I believe
hip-hop.
You. I believe you.
Right.
Tell me what it is.
Right.
Because I know I'm 48, so I'll be 49 in July.
Nice.
I'm 38 was better than 28.
Right.
You couldn't have told me that at 28.
Right.
And you couldn't have told me at 38 that 48 was going to be better than 38. I ain't got no peer pressure. I can wear flip-flops with the thong in the toe. I ain't worried about none of that. I ain't calling for no.
it's just much better. So I imagine, shoot, 88 might be dope. The dopest.
Right.
to be grumpy. You could.
But I think it's about the attitude that you have, man. But your brothers are so right, man. You talk about hip hop. You know, hip hop turned, what, 40 years old this year? You know, and
yep.
You know, you had your pioneers, man, like Zulu Nation, Kool Herc, you know, all the original members
yep.
of the Def Jam crew, you know, Bad Boy, Sugar Hill Gang. Let me ask you this, brother.
On and on.
Those artists coming up, just on and on, man. Those brothers coming up, brother. The artists today, do you think they have it easier? And if they do, when I say easier, I mean just getting their music out there, not having to go through some of the troubles. And if they do have it easier, brother, do you think that they appreciate and they, as the result, they should reach back and pay homage to or try to connect to those pioneers?
First, do they have it easier? Yes, they do have it easier. We paved that way
mm-hmm.
for them to have it easier. And because it also, there is like no, it's so, music is so genuine now because there is no more A&Rs or companies
mm-hmm.
just deciding completely, well, this is what we're going to put out. You can put it out from home now. So we're getting organic. People really wanted to hear that.
Yeah.
And people chose to click on that and hear that. Yet
right.
for us to, and then the younger generation, for them to reach back, it's something that we as the older need to set up. We can set up like a union, you know what I'm saying, to where
yeah.
you got so many artists
yeah.
now making money, and it would all cipher back to them eventually too, because you would have to put money in the pot constantly to where it was like it's like a retirement fund, you know what I'm
yes.
saying. But yeah, that's something that will come in the future because we're just still growing, we're still you know young, and now we're all coming from a place of being you know woke. A lot of people who nowadays you got, you know, it's somebody around you like, oh, no, I don't eat that. Oh, I don't do that. Or, you know what I'm saying? So now that wasn't like that. And that wasn't like that in Watts. It wasn't like that in St. Louis.
Nah, it wasn't.
You're
right. You're right.
So now
you're right.
This is just easier. And it's a more simpler time. It's a more direct time with the streaming systems and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to monetize that properly. We need a way of
right.
us monetizing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Man, I love that, man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love how you spoke about, you know, the artists that, you know, having the type of union and all of that. I know Father Omdia, the Watch Prophets, man, that's one of my Jagnas, that's one of my teachers. So just, you know, years ago, we had started this organization called COPA, Council of Poets and Artists. And essentially, it just was dealing with any artist, MC, musician, whoever that's down on their luck, they'll be able to, you know, come to get housing because there were so many homeless artists that had bodies of work. And then when you think about rap, that's one of the gangs that do not, like, really wrap around, look, no pun intended, wrap around their own artists to, you know, not have them homeless, not have them in these things. You look at rock and roll, they got a fund for that. You look at, you know, so on and so forth.
Country.
But I really do like what you said about creating a union so we can deal with artists that have body of work that's down on their luck right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's
you know, when I watch television shows, man, and I see, you know, white actors being, you know, just recirculated year after year as they get older, and they're still getting, you know, spots here and spots there. And, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, man, it's a majority white artists that they pay homage to. And I don't have anything against that, right? If you're going to look out for people that paved the way, if you're going to look out for artists, I'm not saying every, you know, white artist gets looked out after, right? But there's places where they can get looked out. And I just think it's important. As I look at some of the people, man, some of the names that I grew up with, man, Spoonie G, Cool Herc. I mean, these names, but I don't hear anything about them. I don't hear anyone mentioning them. And it's almost like a disconnect. Who was that brother that recently said that he didn't think Biggie or Tupac was a good rapper? I forget his name, but, I mean, why say that?
That was but the interesting thing about that was Lil Yachty said that.
Right.
He said that Pac and Biggie wasn't better than Drake. And what the recording was him on his tour bus, and he was sitting there arguing with two people.
Mm-hmm.
And who he was arguing with, it was him and his like brother and a couple of friends arguing with these two people. The two people that they were arguing with was his parents.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Yachty was arguing with his parents.
Look at that context.
He was arguing with his parents, and his dad's knowledge of himself. He's a photographer. You know, he sent his kid to college, was there for Yachty. Yachty, just, you know what I'm saying, just being a wild kid. Get then, if I sit and take a deep breath and think about the perspective that he's coming from, now, we have emotional attachment to these people. And then when you think about Biggie saying, sicker than your average, or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
When he was rhyming like that, when Pop was rapping like that, when Nas and came out and was just putting that wordplay together like that, it was the first time it was ever heard. It was like when we first heard Dre and them drop 808 bass. It was like the first time you hear it, it's like, if you're not there for the effect of it, I can't pass it to you at the same way. So when you listen when you listen to Nas, and then he says something, metaphor, I keep a 9 in my army jacket lining, and to you it's just like, okay, that was cool, I heard that before. Yeah, but what we remember when the first time we heard it was when he said it. So it trickles down to where some of the metaphors got. Yet if you look at Yachty's argument, he's looking at like, well, Pac couldn't sing like Drake, you know what I'm saying? And Drake could rap, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was looking at it like, you think about like, man, Drake can rap and sing. He was like, the only person really getting it off, like, he can, like, yeah, he still can rap. He still got bars. Mm. Like, he's like a sprained ankle. He ain't nothing to play with. Like,
that's beautiful. I'm glad you brought that up, Ali. I'm really glad you brought that up, man, because that really helps me to really think about, you know, when this division happens, it's only because when you mentioned early on generational, it's people who are not sitting down and talking to each other like this. Because I read that article, I was like, oh, man, Lil Yachty's out of his mind. But when you said right now, it just illuminated something.
It makes sense.
Right, it makes sense. Because when I watched The Matrix for the first time, it was like, oh, my God. But when I see the effect done over and over again, and it's like someone now who didn't see the first Matrix, who wasn't there at the experience, they're like, that's okay. I've seen that.
That's okay.
And so now it does seem almost elementary. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
man.
Like
he's right.
Pac-Man,
like
Pac-Man on Atari. Man, that was amazing.
Right,
now,
right.
You got,
Pac-Man,
you can put glasses on and step into the video game now.
Absolutely,
you
man. They looking at us like we crazy for playing ColecoVision.
Exactly.
You couldn't even get one.
Everything is relative when it comes to that. It's just relative to each person's situation. Because if I was a hustler on the street and I didn't, lost my money, my re-up money, and I heard Waka Flocka say, I messed my money up. Now I can't re-up. Like, wow, that was bars.
Yeah.
Right, because it's dealing with the
life,
time.
Man.
It's dealing with
life.
The situation. Yeah. Yeah, the life, right, in real time.
In real time.
Yeah.
So it's just relative to why in this industry, it keeps me around the young. And then it also leads both of us to, you know, it led Yachty's parents to go listen to Drake more. I mean, it led Yachty to go listen to Pac and Big more.
Right.
Let me see what they're talking about. You know,
excellent.
It's going to be.
And that mutual appreciation can grow from there. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
It's relevant, man. Well, let me ask you this, brother. You talk about being with the time and changing. you know, you introduce yourself to the world as Ali, but lately you've been calling yourself Papa Leezy.
Papa Leezy.
Well, what's created this change of name, brother? What inspired this?
I've always been Papa Leezy to Murphy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I was 8 years older than him. His father wasn't around. I was eight years older. He always called me Papa Leezy. Yet now I got the gray beard. I'm not dying it. You know, I'm just going to go on and rock it. You know what I'm saying? It is. It is.
Right.
You know, and let the healing also given. So me, it's a way of owning, embracing, and owning it. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm an older rap. My name Papa Leezy. It's like Papa Smurf. You know what I'm saying? I'm Papa Leezy. So if you are a young rapper that's 23, and if I can have any success or continue to have any success, then you can see it. Like, I watched my father, you know, I started listening to jazz and when I got 46 and 44, and because I remember my father's around the age he was listening to it. So I just started listening to it because he was listening to it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and
then we showing the kids that you got to show them a future. Like, I'm still going to wear Jordans. I might wear it with a V-neck sweater. I'm going to look a little more mature. But I'm still going to wear it, so it gives kids, yo, I'm still young. I'm still young at heart, yet I am an adult. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So it's giving them a sight. Oh, yo, this is where I'm going to be. That's what Jay-Z's doing. That's what Puff is doing, you know.
Yeah.
And even though they're not my favorite people, I'm going to give them that credit. That's what they're doing. They're guiding the youth, giving the youth, like, yo, Jay-Z got people thinking, you know, like, at 444, to me, it was his best album because – man, you changed. You brought a whole bunch of MCs back to the mic because
right. You
were 50 years old when you said that. You put out a nice album, talked about things that was, you know, I'm rapping about going to you know, soccer games, the PTA meetings. If it's fly, it's fly.
Yeah.
If you make it rhyme,
if it's fly, it's fly.
Right.
Yeah, because life doesn't end at 25 and 26, brother. But I think with hip-hop, I think what it struggled with getting older, right? And
because
people always seen it as this young street sort of genre. And as people got older, man, it was harder for people to actually grow up in hip-hop. You know, but I think that people grow up, but people's lives don't end. People still have, they still live and they still have things to say.
But
it's just different. It's just, I can hear you, brother. It's just different things now.
You hear me?
That was the tight casting of the record companies, though, Mark.
Right. You're right about that. I can hear you. I can hear you, Ali.
I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no, I know.
You're right. It was the typecasting of the music industry. You're right. The
A&Rs
wanted them to put out a certain image, but and the artists felt they had to stick in that image. But artists, they mature, they get older, man. And as they get older, if they still want to wear, you know, the uniform of the streets, that's fine, man. But they want to put on a turtleneck or whatever, and they want to mature in their music and their art and their artistry. I don't think it should be a fact that they should be shamed out of their art and give it up.
We have a lot of artists.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they will be shamed if they stay in a lane. I'm not targeting when I'm promoting. It's so dope and easy now. It gives me when I want to promote on Instagram or Facebook or any platform. Then it asks me who are you targeting. I'm 35 to 55.
Right.
You know, if the 21s get it, hey, come on up here. But I ain't got no business in y'all lane. Let me step to the side and get in my lane.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's enough for everybody. Yes.
It's enough for everybody because it's still an audience that, you know, when you riding with the wife and you all on a road trip, you know, I'm going to turn on the old school hip hop. Oh, I want to hear something. I want to hear the new Chuck D.
Absolutely.
I want to hear that. Like, give me some of that. Give me that old, what you would call old Chuck, that old feeling. We like that. Take me there with new raps.
Right. Yeah.
And
And then you go into and ain't nothing. This is hip hop. Let's be clear. This is hip hop for us. And to be in other, what makes it hip hop is being able to hop on what's hip. You got to be able to hop on what's
hip. I like that.
You got You got to. If not, then you're just lost in the sauce. If you it's a rhyme pattern the kids do now, they rap behind the beat. We rap before the beat would start. We would start, come with the boom, and now they let the beat drop. Boom. I turn up, Yo, I could do that same flow, and boom, I hit the PGA meeting, turn it. You know what I'm saying? Do the same thing, and we would like it to say, because it's the content that we love.
Yeah.
It's the content. It's my age group. If it's your age group, if we talk about, I can make a joke like, I'm 48, so my back be hurting. You know what I'm saying? Everybody that's my age cracking up laughing like, it was five bucks a bar. You know what I'm saying?
Ain't that something, man? So it's age group appropriate, and it's interesting. So another one of my teachers is Jalal Nuruddin of the legendary Last Poets. And Jalal, he had one of the, the first full-length rap album was Rapping Black in a White World in 1971 with the Wash Prophets. But Jalal Nuruddin came out with a rap album called Hustler's Convention. So I'm saying that because it's like Melly Mel, that was his influence. Melly Mel's site, Jalal Nuruddin, Eazy-E and all them sites, the Wash Prophets. So I'm just saying, as long as even these youngsters, man, I'm real big on them knowing, just knowing the history of it. And if you're in that mode, it's so important to just be able to just show the future, like you were saying earlier, Ali, the future generations to come. And I can see that you're in that energy, and it would never die. It would never get old because, as Amdi of the Wash Prophet say, now it's new. And it don't matter how old you are, but right now it's new.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I mean, you, how is being a parent, man? I want to just talk a little bit about fatherhood because you are a father, brother. How's being a parent influence your music over the years? Man, I believe you have two daughters, right, brother?
Exactly.
Two daughters. How's being a parent, man, influence your art, man, and your music?
It makes you conscious of what you're saying. You got to watch what you say. You got to, because they're going to listen to it, and once it's out there, it's out there. So now when I'm 29, 27, and 28, I make Tip Drill. Oh, daddy was 27, 28, 29. And I was, having fun, yet it's when I get to a certain age that it should be some teaching going on. We need that, So with my music, with my girls, it's, they kind of get the same treatment. Like, I'm making this for my people, for my age group, So they kind of get the same treatment, yet I talk about them so much in my music to where they want to hear it because I'm just talking about them so much because I'm talking about, our life and religion. You got to think, Lunatics, we never was, B-I-T-C-H this and, we just wasn't them kind of brothers. Like, we made songs for all types of people and, all types of situations. So we did, Tip Drill, that was We serenaded all women. I love you. We did all these records. We talked about. We said it had the Manolo Blancos. It was really expensive, and we always say things in a song like Manolos or Manonos. If the real ones are offering, it don't matter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Manolo, Manono. It don't matter if you do it, if you got it or not. Just do it well. You know what I'm saying? So we always we did Tip Drill. It was uplifting the strippers. They went on tour. They thanked us and everything. And it snowballed into something else yet. But now we're always been conscious of what we say. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. How we say it. We always had like a kept a hip hop about it. About making about a pair of shoes. Making it about about a grill. You know what I'm saying? Making a record about a grill, starting a something if it's not just really teaching, it's not negative.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a negativity. It's like, you know, it might drive you to hustle harder to be able to get you a grill. It might drive you to want to get these shoes, but we're not just going to just, you know, give me two Glocks. I'm like, nah. You know what I'm saying?
Nah. I love it. Man, I got a question for you, brother. So, first off, aren't you happy early born day to you, July 13th, man. My pop's birthday is July 3rd. Daughter's July 4th. One of our sons is July 17th. So I wanted you to speak to us about this, this project Rose Gold and the inspiration behind that. I love that name, man. Can you give us a little bit about that, what inspired that?
Yeah. Inspired is that it's a series. The album I made in 19 was called Black Gold. So I'm basing this off just like black, brown, yellow, white. You know what I'm saying? So it's black gold. And the brown, instead of going brown gold, I went rose gold. And it's also about roses and us, everybody talking about giving us our flowers while we're alive.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? To where it's heavily guided by that. Like it's giving flowers. It's giving myself my flowers from what I've been through. You know what I'm saying?
So it's
a rose gold, and then the gold is, you know, the gold. You know what I'm saying? That's the achievement. That's the wealth of it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just it comes off the original. The first album's called Black Gold. This one's Rose Gold. And next is going to be Gold. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
Or yellow gold.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? And then we go have
nice. Okay.
Then it's going, and then. Each album is, because Black Gold is fine. It ain't harsh, but it's a harsh reality into the face of our people. You know what I'm saying? About like, you know, hold on, like, you know, wait a minute. You just a liberal no matter what. You just a conservative no matter what. Like, you know, wait a minute. Let's open all our eyes up and let's really think. You know what I'm saying? Let's huddle up and have a town meeting. That's how this album felt, Black Gold. It was like the album is out now, Black Gold. And it felt like a town meeting that we closed the doors. And our white brothers and sisters, at some point on certain songs, hold on, let us talk by ourselves. So our white brothers and sisters, let us speak to ourselves so we can check ourselves a little bit. Like, yo, they shouldn't have did this and a third, but you shouldn't have did this either. Come on, y'all, let's get together. Like, yo, they shouldn't have did, but let's just learn the rules. Our babies know that if I pick up this ball, I only got two steps before, after that it's called traveling.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they know that if I go outside this line, it's out of bounds. So we can follow rules. We just need to know the rules. That's kind of the rules. Like, rules. The police, when they walk up to your car, They're dealing with a set of rules that we don't even know about. They can ask us for our license and registration. That's just in the rules. Go on and give it to them. Fast to get the situation over with, and just make it back home.
Right.
Just make it back home. And that's like, yes, they are doing things wrong. Yes, they are overly barren. Yet, first of all, let's check ourselves. My father was heavy on that. Let's check ourselves first. What did you do wrong? I was with Michael. Wait a minute. Hold on. You start this conversation off with Michael?
Right.
Well, I allowed foolishly to allow Michael to influence. Okay, here we go. You're going to start with yourself.
Yeah.
What you did wrong in this situation first. Let's check that. Now, give me a fighting chance. My father, give me a fighting chance to go here and argue with the police. But if you're in the wrong, bro, come on. You got to give me a – and I'm not saying George Floyd's in the wrong. I'm not saying anything. No, of course not. I'm just saying let's make sure our babies know. Like, when they walk up to it, they got the right to say, where are you going? They got the right to say that. Now, they're going to give you – they're also going to give you a character check. They're going to say, do you know why I pulled you over? Yeah, I was, I ain't put my blink on. I was, now they know what they're dealing with. They're dealing with a good citizen. See, because I don't push people being a good person, because a good person is relative. Mm-hmm. What I think a good person is and what you think a good person is could be totally different. But a good citizen, it's a definition to a good citizen. Let's be good citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start off where it was just pure, I'm a good citizen, you know what I'm saying? That's just a civilized person following the rules, and that's us, and that's us. And if we don't, let's own up to it. I didn't do it right. And let's not argue about it. Because if you ain't a good citizen, they got a place they can citizen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or,
right.
If you can't, you got to be a good citizen. You just can't sit and sin.
Right, that
there
part.
You go. Yep. There you go. I
just
love
can't
that.
Sit and sin. Because the devil's playground is an idle mind. Just sitting and sinning. You just can't just smoke and drink all day, bro.
No, you can't.
You have to carve out the day and do something a little different. Brother,
you
got to
be a good citizen. You can't just sit and sin, because if you do, they got to place their citizen.
That's one of those things. That for my T-shirt press I was talking about earlier, brother. Look, brother, I think that's important, man. I think people, you know, we have to deal with the reality of unfair policing, but we also have to deal with the reality of making sure our communities are taken care of. And those two things can operate at the same time. Right? One doesn't have to overshadow the other thing. And I'm not saying, and that's not saying like when those people say, like, well, the police killed this many people, but what about Chicago? That's not saying that, right? Because I know there's organizations that are out there working on behalf of the community to deal with the issues that's going on. I know that for a fact. But I also know that there's things that we can still be doing within ourselves to better take care of ourselves, to better take care of our communities. So I also know that for a fact. We had this event, man, recently out here in L.A. celebrating Juneteenth, man, and I was out there. And it was such a beautiful event. I mean, it was just a beautiful sea of black faces, all shades, all just having a good time dancing, just celebrating, walking, and saying hi. And I didn't see one fight. No fights were reported. No killings. No nothing. And I'm saying to myself that we know how to do it within ourselves.
Yeah,
right?
We know.
I'm talking about when interference comes in, that's a different thing. But when we're within ourselves, we can do better. And I think that's what I'm hearing from you, brother. We have to encourage each other to do that. Brother, like I said, this time goes fast. I always say that, brother. So we got about maybe 6 minutes. I just want to ask you this question, brother, because you've been in the business a long time. You learned a lot. If someone comes up to you today in their 20s, early 20s, teens, saying, Papa Leezy, I'm about to go into the music industry, what would you say to them, brother? What advice, what suggestions, what knowledge would you drop on them?
Man, you got 6 minutes, huh?
Give me the abbreviated version.
Abbreviated version is I would balance it. I would give them all. I would tell them, you know, these are the rules and regulations. You know what I'm saying? Don't get caught up in your emotions and your feelings, because people look out for each other. And ain't nothing wrong with it. Blacks look out for blacks. Whites look out for whites. Gays look out for gays. Let's see. You know, like, everybody looks out, you know what I'm saying, each. So don't get emotionally attached. St. Louis is look out for St. Louis. And Watts look out for, you know what I'm saying? Like, it might be a brother from Tennessee that's acting funny. It might be a white guy from Watts that came for the job. And Dallas might be like, you know what? I'm going to go and give it to this white guy from Watts. Like, you know what I'm saying? So don't get attached to it like that.
Right.
I would say that and teach them so many things. And I also teach them that they wouldn't even expect. Like, okay, that first money you get, put some to the side and blow a lot of it. Go and get it out your system.
Get it out your system.
You got to. But set something to the side and designate this to blow. You got to blow some, because you got to get out your system. We ain't never had. We won't. But if you put some structure to it, to where you know I'm going to blow this. You know that. It's gone, so you feel freer blowing it. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I would give. It would be a bunch of balance. You know what I'm saying? I would give a lot of
a lot of balance of saying, like, yo, do it, you know, this is positive, also this, you know what I'm saying? With the women, you know what I'm saying, with women and dealing with women, I would tell them, like, dealing with, like, yo, you got to, you know, the goal, like black gold and rose gold, it's also G-O-A-L, it's a goal, you know what I'm saying? Like, so
right.
The goal is a family. If you want to change all of our, the majority of our problems right now, would you change it easily. Meet her, have baby, stay.
Right. Yeah. There it is there. That part. A family.
Say that again, brother.
Come on, man. If you don't speak on it, brother.
The church.
Yes.
Right. He does. So it will be a lot of that. And I talk to a lot of, I get my phone ring all day long from rappers and all kind of rappers from, I talk to 50 Cent. And we talk about all kind of stuff, just weird, you know, wild things, but just more than just music. Just like, so just young rappers, I'm always like, and then I meet with the gray beards and me being lunatics and being so and when so, they're like, yo, I remember we dressed like y'all and did all, so they'll listen. And I'll sit and tell them, but I'm going to put a balance on it. You know what I'm saying? When I put it, and then I'm going to, even though I don't really smoke, I'm going to smoke the blunt with you a little bit.
Right.
Because you're going to hear me better now.
You
know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? If I was, you know what I'm saying? I'm 5%, but if I was with my Muslim brothers, I'd take my towel. I'm going to come to them looking like them. They're going to hear me. You know what I'm saying? So
that's my approach
on just for an up-and-coming rapper. And gentlemen, appreciate everything. Celebrate everything.
Yeah.
When you go number seven, celebrate it. And then get off of the top, get off of it. Now don't celebrate again tomorrow. Keep on get celebrated. If you lose, just have sorrow for a day and move on. If you win, have victory for a day and move on.
Right. Don't get stuck. I love that. Don't get stuck.
Either one, and that's the thing. Most people think just don't get stuck in sorrow, but you can't get stuck in a moment of happiness or success because then the next moment gets lost, and then you slip it. And then now you only have this one moment, like Ed Bundy, he was stuck in that high school football moment because that was his only joy, right? You're frozen. You can't get frozen.
You're frozen.
Either dynamic, man. That's beautiful. That's beautiful, brother.
You're frozen because frozen is too. That's just ice, and I ain't with. I'm justice. I don't need just ice.
Right.
I'm frozen. I'm stuck. No.
Right. Absolutely.
I ain't
man.
Just
my
ice.
Wife,
I ain't stuck.
Right. My wife say 50% of the world going to love what you do. 50% of the world is going to not hate it. So just stay right in the middle so you won't get too big-headed or too, you know, small-headed. You just right in the middle. Like,
I got a line where I say I never cared about the fame, only wealth. Because what you taste, you're going to swallow. Now you're full of yourself.
Yes, man. You know, I got to say this, man, because we have only a few minutes. I know it's a lot of people out there, man, that's just wondering, how can I get in contact with his brother? What's your social handles, your websites, man? Can you give us some energy?
It's on Instagram is Ali_SaintLunatic. Just Ali,
nice.
Ali_STLUNATICS, yes. Lunatics. You want the self-truth? Love you now. True, I see self. Saint Lunatics, it's a negative and a positive. That's what makes the world go around. That's why we're the saints. All the lunatics. Which one you want? You pick and choose.
Nice. I didn't know that. Look at that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Dope. It'll rotate you all the way to 10 million. You go diamond.
That's that boy right.
Look at that balance.
That balance. He's right back
brother.
Talking about balance.
He's right back to the balance, brother. But brother, look, I want to say that. It's been a pleasure, brother, having you on. You gave us a lot of knowledge, brother. You were true to yourself, man. And I just think hopefully those who hear this, man, especially those who are coming in the industry, they'll listen, man. And even those who are in the industry, they'll listen. If they're not,
doing some of the things that were spoken here today, brother. And we look forward to once the new project drops, man, to have you back on to talk about that and just share some more of your wisdom, brother. So thank you for joining us on the other side properly. Yeah, brother. It's a pleasure.
Yeah,
man. I've known you for a long time.
It was a pleasure. Mark, yeah, we know you. That's cool. Me and Courtney, well, I was going to high school. So, but Analogy, it was nice to meet you, brother. I want to meet you in a physical one day. Yet, it
absolutely.
Was just still much love. And shout
much
out to
love, man.
Much
to
love,
be continued.
Much love. Peace.
Yes.
Peace.
All right, peace, y'all. Peace.
Whew.
Yourself.